Today, I have the privilege and the responsibility of preaching Pastor Doug's sermon. As I share what he had written, I am emotionally touched by the reality of all Jesus does for me, as well as the call Jesus has on my life of what I can do for others. Now, Doug begins his sermon with a story of his trip to the dentist's office. Now, of course, his personal experiences are not mine, so I'm not going to go into great detail about what happened there. But Doug tells of a wonderful opportunity given to him to ignore pain. Our own Dr. Tim Tomasi suggested the use of movie glasses during the procedure. As Doug watched a movie, he learned something about the power of our eyes to give us an awareness of pain. With eyes averted from long, numbing needles and dentist drills, Doug realized he felt no pain at all. Maybe this is why we shut our eyes when during a shot or close our eyes when we are ripping off a Band-Aid, or we close our eyes when we are receiving bad news. Taking your eyes off the source of the pain just may alleviate it. As we think about these words that Jesus spoke, behold your son, behold your mother, as he hung on the cross, bleeding, barely able to breathe. Incredibly, Jesus keeps his eyes wide open. With his eyes, he clearly saw the cat of nine tails that beat his back, the twisted thorns that pierced his scalp, the rough beams that suspended his body, and of course, the hammer and nails. But even more than that, Jesus was looking to sense the pain of others on that Friday afternoon of his tortured death. With eyes wide open, he saw his mother Mary and fully took into his being her pain. Jesus not only empathized with her pain, taking her pain into his own heart, Jesus takes action. What Mary needed now was a comforter to alleviate her pain right now. And what Mary needed in the future was a provider to care for her as she aged, eventually falling into sickness and death. So, as Jesus did many times before, he speaks and drives away the pain of others. Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Fall into one another's arms as a mother and child. This will bring you comfort now, and make a commitment of love to care for one another for the rest of the journey of your life. No need to be anxious about an uncertain future. You have each other. It's really hard to imagine. Jesus is nearing his death. Not only dying, but dying so that the sin of all and everyone who has ever lived, was living, or would ever live in the future would be forgiven. Don't you think that is task enough during these last hours of his life? Go ahead, Jesus. Close your eyes. Don't you think this was ministry enough? Go ahead and close your eyes. Find some happy place to take your eyes off these sources of pain. No, not for our Jesus. He always had his eyes open to the pain of others and then made a loving response. He looked upon a man pained with demons, most likely suffering a mental illness. He saw and he reacted in love. He drove the demons into swine and freed a man who had made his home among tombs, giving him a new life. Jesus' eyes were never closed to the pain of others. When 5,000 people suddenly found themselves hungering after a long day of preaching, he went into action. He took bread and fish, and all were fed. All were filled with 12 baskets of bread left over. How easily he could have closed his eyes or focused his eyes upon his own dinner. No, he looked for pain, was open to the pain of others, and responded in love. Jesus stumbled upon a stoning that was just about to happen. A woman was caught in an act of adultery, the stuff of capital punishment according to the Mosaic law. He could have shielded his eyes, but instead he kept his eyes opened as he scribbled on the ground. What he wrote, we don't know. Maybe he wrote her name. Maybe he wrote her accuser's name. Maybe with eyes wide open, he drew a heart. All we know is that he stepped into the pain squarely while staring at the ground. For the men, he offered the gift of freedom from soul-sickening judgment. And for the women, he offered her a fresh start. Today, we find Jesus doing what Jesus always does. Eyes wide open to see the pain of others. Heart wide open to take in the hurting. And then he responds to forever change the pained. A mother now has a new son. A son who will prove to be a comforter now and a provider tomorrow. What can you realize from Jesus' words on the cross? Christ sees your pain. Christ takes your pain unto himself. And Christ is moving right now to alleviate your hurting and suffering. It's unfortunate that our common Western society greeting to one another is, "Hey, how are you?" And you know what we reply, "I'm great." We say, "I'm great," even if we can't sleep, or our marriage is in shambles, or our children are having problems, or our faith is virtually non-existent and we are miserable. How often we cover up our pain, even to ourselves, keeping our own eyes shut to all that is hurting us. We could learn much from the way a traditional African tribe, the Swahili, greet one another. In Swahili, the greeting word is sawubono, Sawubona means, "I see you. I see you. I see you, and I'm here to rejoice with you when you need to rejoice. Sawubona, I'm here to weep with you when you need to weep. Sawubona, I see God in you as you see God in me." The Swahili have practiced the art of meeting one another with eyes and heart wide open. Lent is the time to open our eyes wide to the pain of Jesus, the pain of the world, and the pain of one another. There are lots of people hurting right here in this one community of faith, our church, hurting over anxiety, hurting over the loss of a beloved director of youth ministry and a father to so many, hurting because of the struggles of some of our friends or those struggles in our own family. The temptation is to turn our eyes away from pain in any and all forms. The call of Jesus, the example of Jesus from his cross, is in this relationship with his mother, is sawubona. I see you. I love you. I am here for you. And most of all, God is with us, for God is in us. Mary, the mother, and John, the youngest disciple, take on a symbolic role at the foot of the cross when Jesus gave them to each other. They became a new community. Jesus' death gives birth to the church, the very body of Christ. Blood ties have changed. Now the blood ties that are most important are not the genetic ones, but the ties brought into being by Jesus' blood shed on the cross. This is the new covenant written in the blood of Jesus that we celebrate with Holy Communion. There was a year while I was pastor of Aldersgate Church when we experienced some very real, significant, and painful events. It was an unusual time when the young children of the church were confronted with the death of several persons who were very important in their lives. The children had experienced the loss of church members who loved them dearly, who noticed them, paid attention to them, and acknowledged that they were special. What amazed the church at the time was how the children handled their grief in healthy ways, not avoiding it, but embracing it by reaching out to God and to others, even participating in the leadership of the funeral services for our loved ones. As a church at that time, we realized that this is what it means that the church is a family. There is a wider circle of people to whom to feel close and to love. Our church's children had discovered that truth. Bill Moyers has commented that one of the most traditional values of the American way of life, live and let live, can be a seriously damaging value. Moyer says, health requires us as individuals and as a people to go a step beyond this, to live and help live. We hear Jesus define our special relationship to each other and to the Lord when he says in the Gospel of Mark, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Sau bona. I see you. I need you. I wouldn't want to live the journey of life without you. I pray that you will never live it without each other. Amen.